Hello and welcome to Incomplete Geeks, a gay geek podcast where we talk about all sorts of geeky things. Sometimes our knowledge is excellent, but sometimes it's a little bit
incomplete.
I don't have an intro.
I do. Which is funny.
Take it away, John.
I'm John. That's Nick. We are two gays just following in the footsteps of our historical gay ancestors. This is episode. And that's why I didn't do it, because I don't know what number it is. I forgot. Is it 59? I went 59. I think 59. If it's not, see now you're looking, doing what I did to go aside and look up the episode number. I think it's 59.
That's fine. It'll say on the thing.
It'll say. I mean, dear listener, if you clicked on it, you know what episode it is. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you can tell me from the future that I'm wrong. Anyway. This is our first episode of 2024. We've had a nice little break. Hope you guys did too. And we're just going to talk about bits and bobs that are happening in the world. We're not going to make it a specific episode about any one thing because we got so much to talk about. We might as well just sort of get through it. Does that sound all right? How are you, Nick, by the way? How are you?
Great. Tell the viewers. I keep doing that.
As you sniff.
Sniff, snort thing. Wonderful. Just fantastic.
It is winter, I suppose. I must apologize as well because my stomach is really, really gurgly right now. So if you hear it, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I mean, I have no idea why.
It's because you're so skinny. You need some more food.
I've overeaten every single day this past week because Tom's not been around. He's been on holiday. So I was like, I can eat chocolate and pizzas and whatever else. So
I think I've had a cookie every single day this year and I don't feel bad about that.
Every single day this year. That's
pretty much
a
nice... I think that's the vibe of 2024. And
that's an excellent New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a cookie every day.
Every single day.
Put like a little dot on your calendar to make sure that you've done it. So you can look back and be like, I had a cookie every day. And I look fabulous. I had 5 Cadbury's eggs like 20 minutes ago, which is probably why I'm gurgling.
Class. We have our shit so together.
Not a doctor.
Now that we're both in our 40s, we are just
yes,
really respecting our bodies and our futures here.
I'm in my 40s now, and also that means Taylor Swift is 32, 3? Hang on, she's 89, I'm 83. Jesus. 34, she's 34 then.
She's doing great.
She's doing great. Happy birthday to Taylor Swift. by the way. Why are we talking about Taylor Swift, Nicholas?
Oh, because she has the same birthday as you.
She does. She was born.
You had it first, though.
I have it first. She's gonna try as long as she can, but she'll never catch up. So I was 83, and she was 89, which I only know because of that album title,
of course,
right? Yes. That's not wrong, right?
You didn't make that up. That's correct.
Good. Look at me. I'm such down with the kids. But yes, every time it's my birthday, it's also Taylor's birthday, and she's dating a tight end with the initials TK, and in my team, there's a tight end with the initials TK as well, who's also very cute. Tucker, if you're listening.
Is that a
NFL
reference?
A
sports reference on
I
our gay podcast?
I that's did.
A, that's
we
offensive.
Are so multifaceted. That's offensive.
That's offensive. I don't like that at all. I share my birthday with Justin Timberlake, which is way less fun than it used to be, which is next week. Like my birthday's next week, which is way less fun than it used to be. Like in the 2000s, it was like, yeah, that's sexy and cool. Now it's like, oh, that's sad and old.
That's so funny. No, that's great. I didn't realize that we had such birthday share funness. Birthday sharing. Pop stars. We got the short end of the stick, though, with our voice talents and acting success. So yes, all right. So after that bit of waffling, let's this is what you're in for. You know what I want to talk about first? Oh no, sorry, you snapped.
Did you have an order? I was just gonna say
no, I don't have an order. We are orderless.
What did you watch over Christmas, John? Oh no, wait, you didn't watch it. I watched it over Christmas.
What are you talking about?
Season two?
What if season two? Yes. Now, I'm going to say as well, tell me how season two is like. And you can spoil it a little bit for me, but I haven't seen it. But the only reason I haven't seen it is because my partner wants to watch it. We finally watched Guardians of the Galaxy volume 3, like last week or so, which is the final film of all of... I've now seen every single film of the MCU.
That's a good
some
lesson.
Of them twice. So... but now we're caught up. And so now we're going to start watching the TV shows. I said, let's watch What If, because I want to watch What If season 2. It's over Christmas, blah, blah, blah. So we started watching it. he really likes it. We stopped at the end of season one, and then it's now this is where we are. So I haven't seen season two yet. I fully will intend to. The only thing I've heard about it is that a friend of mine told me that the final like two or three episodes, whatever, he said, better than any Marvel film. And I was like, okay.
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
I was like, I don't think it would be better than any Marvel film, but if it's at that kind of caliber where people are saying that, I was like, okay, they must have done something quite interesting again, similar to what they did in the first season. What do you think? Are you ready?
Are you ready for this? Buckle.
Sorry, that's my blathering. It's your turn now.
So, season two.
How many episodes was it? It was like nine again?
Eight or nine, something like that. So, there's good, the pros and cons.
Tell me. Yeah, tell me. One episode a day for over Christmas.
I don't know how to do this, like, graciously, but the cons are the season was shit, if I'm honest. It was...
Overall, you mean?
Overall, it was not fun. I watched the first three or four in a row, and it's just weird fucking stories, like pointless, boring stories. Like, what if Nebula was in the Nova Corps? And then it's kind of like a cop Blade Runner thing, and then it's not. And what if Happy Hogan saved Christmas and came? It's like, what? It's just such picking up these little character threads. It's like, these are not fun what if questions. The whole point of what if is like, take a big swing and see this bonkers alternate reality or some big dramatic Marvel event that didn't happen or happened in a different way, that sort of stuff. That's what it's supposed to be about. It just seems like they're like, right, well, we've got Karen Gillan and we've got Sebastian Stan. What can we get them to do voiceover-wise? Hayley Atwell, who I don't dislike. I like Hayley Atwell, but my fucking God, all they do is use Captain fucking Carter in this series.
And she's the main star now. She's the hit, basically.
Oh, God. I do not care.
About Captain Carter. I think she's great as a concept, but like, if there's no story behind it, why are we going to follow this character? Then it's like, okay, well, it's just a concept.
Yeah. A lot of people don't like the fact that it's just obsessively, like excessively Captain Carter focused, which I agree. It's like, this was not, she's not a particularly fun character. I like Hayley Atwell. She does a great job. Mm-hmm. Good voiceover. It's fine. But it seems like keep making stories just so they can include this character. I'm like, this is boring.
So what's different from the first season? Because you said like the first season, it was kind of a lot of stories. What if, like, not all of them were great? Like the zombie one. I thought that was pointless.
I love the zombie one. There's a couple. Zombie one was the best one by far. By far. It's getting its own show. That's how good it was. It's getting show.
You're
and
kidding.
It was great. Best one by far. By far.
The Walking Dead.
Exactly. I know you don't like it, and that's
trying to make a pun. I can do
absolutely fair, but
I mean, I'm still getting closer to watching The Last of Us, which isn't exactly zombies, but
that's so good. You need to watch it. I know. So the bad point is, like, overall, I don't think the majority of the episodes were worthwhile. I think they were done just. I don't know why they were done. They weren't telling an interesting story. They were barely telling a story in a lot of the places.
Right. Okay.
The plus side, the couple of episodes that were done interestingly were really good.
Right, okay,
and there
was
one standout. I don't know the name.
I thought you were frozen. Of a character or an episode or what?
Because I don't want to say the name incorrectly. So there's an...
Go ahead.
Cahorty?
The Native American one.
Yes. So that episode, because for a long time I was like, who is this character? Like, where did you take this from? And my nerd comic book self would normally be, why have you made up a character? There are so many Marvel characters. However, it's great. It works. It's such a big swing. It's like, what if the Native Americans had superpowers when the conquistador showed up?
That's a big swing,
It is so satisfying to watch because it's such a great twist in it. It's so Marvel.
Yeah.
She has powers. The way she gets the powers and the powers themselves are fucking great. The character design is brilliant. It's just excellent. Who would have thought that What If season fucking two would pull out this new original character who is excellent? And I really hope that they bring her into another project.
But the comics or something. That's interesting because I didn't realize cartoon, she was a brand new TV character show, for the, made film, by the show.
Any of them will be fine. I think that's, it's a really cool character, cool powers, cool design. I think it works on all of them.
Okay, good. And that's not really spoilery, really. I didn't know that it was made by that it was a new invention for the TV show. Is the voice actor someone significant?
No, but they are Native American. So it's, and the whole episode, that whole episode is done in her Native American language. All of it
is all subtitled.
Subtitled, yeah, because obviously the other characters are Spanish, so they speak in that sort of stuff.
Oh,
it's
good.
Really good. It's exactly what If is made for. The other perfect. One is like, what if the Avengers were like King Arthur kind of time shit?
Oh,
perfect. That's what I love. Because it's stupid. It's complete, makes no sense. But like Wanda's a sorceress and it is Elizabeth Olsen and shit like that. You're like, oh, great. Cool. This is great. Bonkers, stupid shit. That's what you want. Not a slightly different version of a shitty version of one shitty character from Guardians of the Galaxy doing a cop. Like, this is what?
Right, okay. Even though I do kind of like Nebula in her own way, but I know what you mean though. It's like you have to like take the big swings, which is
it's the whole point of it. Yeah,
to the whole point of it. Yeah,
big and weird and interesting. And so they kind of take that one and Kohori, and the final episode is because like in season one, I think the other than the zombie one, which is great, the big standout is Doctor Strange, right? When he becomes crazy evil and absorbs all the different powers, and he's
I think season one had a number of good moments because it was a brand new show. We didn't know what to expect, and we expected at least sort of the setup was like, you know, here's this watcher who is completely separate to these stories, and we're just seeing snippet stories that don't have an impact on each other. And then so the Doctor Strange one, which is kind of weird, it didn't end on a good note as well. It ended up like it wasn't a happy ending, but there was one moment that people sort of grabbed on where Doctor Strange, or whatever he's called, Stephen Strange? Strange Supreme, that's the one. Why? I don't know. This is not in the show. I watched it twice now. But he basically sort of kind of notices the Watcher is there in this like brief moment. It's like, who said that kind of thing? And people were like, oh my God, it's breaking the mold. It's like episode 4. And they're already breaking the mold of what we are to expect. And then, of course, the biggest moment was when Ultron sort of notices him as well. And so you set up this sort of premise, and then you smash the premise in a really interesting, creative way. And so that's why then the whole show became, oh, actually, we are going to draw these separate stories together. And that was what was cool about it.
Yeah, season two, not so much.
Not so much?
Not so
much. They couldn't do the same thing again.
I mean, you could. It's a comic book.
You could just
keep doing good stories. Interesting, but good. By the time I got to like the one where like Happy Hogan is saving Christmas just because it got Jon Favreau to do the voice, I'm like, this is awful.
Well, Jon Favreau is like a dear heart of the Marvel world,
but
isn't he?
The story is stupid, and it's so obvious that like none of the Avengers are there, but none of them speak because like we only have Jon Favreau and we have Kat Dennings. So like in this world, they're like, what is the point of this? It's stupid.
I thought the point of that one was to be like a piss take of Die Hard, because that was
I guess
kind of thing.
Stupid.
Yeah, so you didn't even get that. Okay, cool. I mean, I'm looking forward to watching it. It's part of the
expectations
list, you know?
Here, and you'll enjoy it. But if your expectations are here, you're like,
yeah, I'm not gonna expect like a groundbreaking thing like the first season.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't recommend that. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they do something with the characters. Mm-hmm. Do you think they're going to do anything with Captain Carter? Do you think they'll make her into it?
Oh, God. Well, they had her in Multiverse of Madness, so that was kind of
And
that was a really good way of testing the waters for concepts. So I remember, obviously, there was a Captain Carter that we'll put her in like a small part of this film as like a fun sort of thing. See how the audiences react, and if they like her, we'll keep her. If they don't like her, then we'll do it again. Similar to, I think you sent me the TikTok about the Eternals being a sort of a test run for maybe the X-Men were there all along and they just did nothing, because that was the same kind of concept for the Eternals, and see how people responded to that one.
Everyone hated it.
Which was kind of mixed.
Everyone hated it, so I was like, right, we won't do that for the X-Men.
I didn't hate it, but people hated the film, which is a shame. And there's a third one as well. I can't remember, but I'll probably think of it.
I will say that's a very Marvel thing to do. Like in the actual comics, a lot of the stuff that they did back in the early 60s were like one shot like Marvel Spotlight kind of things. So they mm-hmm. would put out these bonkers characters with different concepts and they'd try them out. And that's how they would, if they sold really well, they'd be like, right, they get their own kind of comic, yeah. that sort of thing, which I love. That's the whole point of it. That's great. But
so you mentioned Marvel Spotlight, because I didn't realize that was a comic book thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw a nice little segue to our...
Lovely. Yes. yes.
Marvel Spotlight is now a... Yeah, it's now a thing on TV. They're calling this new Echo show, which came out like last week, I think it was. Anyways.
Yeah.
They have the Marvel Studios kind of logo and then Marvel Spotlight. And I was like, hang on, did I miss this? What is this?
Oh, I don't know what it means.
I looked into it. I'll tell you.
Thank God. I was like, John, I'm not going to look into it.
First of all, this is the first show that they're doing it for.
Yeah.
Marvel Spotlight. And it's just sort of, they're trying to, what I've read, what they're trying to do is make a sort of a sub studio. And I think it's going to be just for TV shows from now on. We'll see what the next one is if they keep going. Again, they're testing the waters in a way.
Great, yeah.
So Marvel Spotlight is meant to be a show where it's going to be clear to the audience that you don't have to watch anything else
uh-huh.
in order to appreciate the story. What they're going to do is they're going to have a spotlight on like one particular character or one story and just tell that story, period. And so the idea is go deeper into the character.
Yep.
You don't have to watch anything else, but yep. if you have seen everything else, you'll understand. Yes. You'll get a bit more, but it's not required. So
that changes.
And the name is comes from the comics.
Yeah, that changes a lot of what my kind of biggest criticisms are with the show.
Yeah,
knowing that does change it a bit. I think my the biggest criticism I have is like I don't know what the point of doing this show now is. Like it doesn't feel, if it's part of the big build-up or the big, you know, big plan, it doesn't feel necessary. It doesn't feel like it has a place in the bigger storytelling.
No, I don't think it adds to it's that just, at all.
Which, if I'd known that, you know, if that's the point, that's fine.
But the thing is, like, then I'm confused about why this wasn't more announced, more of a big deal. I mean, the show itself wasn't really well promoted, was it?
I think when it was originally announced, people thought, Marvel and Disney thought people would give more of a shit. But after the year we had last year with all of their tanking TV shows, they're like, oh,
yeah.
People don't care anymore. Just, we've made it. Just get it out.
Sure.
It ticks a lot of diversity boxes with the character and the background and the making of it, which is by far the best part of it. So get it out.
I like that separately to the whole Marvel Spotlight thing. If you want to focus on a character, like if I'm thinking of the previous batch of TV shows, like Moon Knight could have been a Marvel Spotlight kind of thing. It didn't really have any impact on anything else. You know, you did have a bit of diversity with the Egyptian, not motif, like the Egyptian characters, the setting, et cetera. And the direct main showrunner was Egyptian as well. He did that on purpose.
They couldn't have gotten an Egyptian actor. It's weird that they got
not for Stephen Grant, but for like what's her name, Layla.
Yeah, she was Egyptian.
Which I did like as well, and maybe some other ones. Maybe Kamala Khan could have been a spotlight as well, but then of course she has a bigger sort of impact on the greater MCU. What was I going to say though? So like, why? So they kind of, it's kind of like they're acknowledging the fact that they can't keep doing the same thing, the studios, you know. And here we are, you know, two white guys of the podcast talking about our opinion, how great it is. But like, I think it's a good thing. They're kind of recognizing that, hang on, we got to try something different now. Yes. I don't know why they didn't promote it more, because I thought the show was great. I've got some nitpicks about it, but I thought it was really good. I was surprised. I was like, oh, this is quite a good show.
I was surprised as well. My big nitpick is like, I don't know what it's like, I don't know what the point of this is. Like, in the Marvel framework, I'm like, right, let's watch this show.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of this show?
Yeah.
There isn't one. Apart from, I think the character is great. I think the actress who plays her is great. Mm-hmm. I like the mythos behind it. The fight scenes are incredible. I like the way the cinematography, the way they like cut the sound and everything like that.
Yes.
I think it's,
that was really cool.
It has a lot of potential and it's really good and I really enjoyed it. But it's kind of like, is this a Marvel thing? Does it really matter? It bugged me a bit. Only because that's what we're used to. And I'm used to it being that. I was like, who was this for? Like, what was the point of making this?
I get it.
When it could have just been, just to make the show. I was like, oh, fair enough.
Yeah, and I think that if they do that, if that's what it was, then I think it did it really well. Like, it doesn't. I think they're recognizing that not everything that they put out has to be pushing the Marvel MCU soap opera forward a little bit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
True.
And if they sort of just recognize that and let people watch it if they want to, and if they think it's good, they're not going to feel like they have pressure. I can't watch the Marvels because I never watched the show that introduces these characters. And then sort of say, you don't have to.
If that's the approach they take with future TV projects, mm-hmm. future Disney Plus thing, I think that's great. Like, if you want to keep, there's too much stuff going on anyway. If you want to keep the movies, like the central line that's going off,
mm-hmm.
central line, God, so London.
the sacred timeline that's going
off. Oh, God. And then just have like little deep dives or little extra bits into either a situation or a character. It's like we couldn't include this whole dramatic emotional thing in the film, so we had to cut it. But look, you know what, we could do a 5 episodes on Wanda and Vision falling in love in Edinburgh. That's me because I love Wanda, but you know, something like that, that you're like, we like didn't have time to explore this, but we could do like a little thing off. Would be wonderful.
I think that's a really good point, because you mentioned as well, it doesn't have to be like in the present either. No, doesn't, I think...
It feels like if they did that, which, you know, we'll get into it, because then they may not be doing that. It feels like in how a lot of the comics, or like the ones I used to read, the reprints, they would have a second story on the back. So they would have like the normal story, and then they'd have like a little backstory, like a different
like
thing.
Like you flip the thing upside down and you read it again?
Yeah, and it would be either like an origin story for Emma Frost, or this weird thing that happened when Jean Grey was living with Misty Knight, or just nothing to do with the actual issue. But it's like, here's a short story. Magneto's origin at one point was in one.
It's like DLC.
Like little, what does that mean?
It's downloadable content. It's like extra to the video game.
Like a little thing. Side quest.
Yeah.
Like, it was, yeah. Okay, yeah. No. I tried to be gamer. No.
I know, it was very good.
A little side quest.
Not quite the same as a side quest, but DLC is like just extra story that isn't part of the main story that you can sort of... Yeah. Like DLC can be like a character. Like when you play Batman, you can have a DLC as Catwoman as well, for example.
Or as the second story in the back of a comic book.
Yeah, exactly. That's like DLC. It's like DLC. Anyway.
I would love that. If that's what they do with their future Disney Plus shows, where you can watch them if you want to watch them. I hope that's what they do.
I mean, they could do, like, if they keep that with films as well, like when they did.
It cost a lot of money to make their shows as well, doesn't it?
Depends on how much CGI there is, I think. There wasn't a lot in Echo, which I really appreciated.
And they worked in tandem. I'm hoping, they said they did work in collaboration with the local Choctaw Nation community.
Which I know, I love that.
I hope that helps with that sort of stuff. It felt very genuine.
Oh my
gosh,
I watched the last episode and I was like, people are going to go to this powwow and they're going to figure out when the next one is.
I thought that too.
Is
that a bad thing if you have a load of white Marvel fans showing up to like this big event? Or is that
It's good, because the Marvel fans that will go to experience the Choctaw Nation powwow, whatever it is, that if it's I don't even know if it's a real thing. Maybe it's like based on a real thing. But they'll have good intentions.
I hope so.
They're going to go be like, hi, this is where the Echo film, the TV show was shot. It's great. So I love all of that, the ethnic diversity, which is what I loved about the Kamala Khan show as well. Yeah. It's like, I love seeing this, you know, entrance, this window into this community, which is great. And I think the fact that Kingpin goes to fucking Oklahoma, gets his ass kicked. And he's like, he does it for a good reason. I'll get on him in a little bit, but like also, it obviously hired actors who are all indigenous or Native American.
Mm-hmm.
And it made sign language as well. Yeah. Not an extra thing. Like, it was just the way they communicated and it worked really well. The actor who plays Echo, Maya Lopez, first of all, from Wisconsin. And she is obviously deaf in real life. And I didn't know this as well, but the prosthetic leg thing, that's an actor thing. That's not a character thing.
Yeah, it's not a character thing at all. her powers are completely not that.
Yes.
And I was like, all the way through, and like, I was like, her powers are to echo people's abilities, right?
Exactly.
Did I make that up? But I like how they did it.
No.
And I like that kind of thing. It's a little bit you know, native, spiritual, mystical, maybe that, but
yeah.
I'm trying to see if the showrunners or writers or producers were.
I saw a mention. I don't know if it was a. I saw a video where the showrunner, Sydney Freeland. I don't know if she's what her ethnicity is, but she was basically like, yeah, the powers in the comics are stupid. She just copies people. Like it's just like Taskmaster. We're going to do something totally different with her background. And I think people generally were like, sure, okay, yeah, fine.
Sydney Freeland is a Native American Navajo filmmaker.
Navajo, okay. Navajo is more like Southwest.
New Mexico?
New Mexico, yeah. Mostly New Mexico, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, we've already had Taskmaster. And it was a cool power, but it was nice to do something different with it. Yeah, my main thing was like, was this done by an actual Native writer or showrunner or something? And it was, so...
Yeah, good.
I was expecting to be like, what a fucking waste of fucking time. Yeah,
what is this about?
Piece of shit. And it was just really enjoyable to watch. It's also like 33 minutes per episode. I'm like, easy.
I know.
Easy watch.
I wanted to, like, towards the end of watching these five episodes,
yeah.
I was, like, looking for things to be upset about. And I'm just like, is this, like, just a movie that could have been TV show that could have been a movie?
Nope.
But I never felt like there was fluff. There was never fluff in any episode. It did feel episodic because you're focusing on one of the women each episode, which I think was great. It gave it a bit of structure. The villain, Fisk, which I think now that we're over the fact, like, oh my God, they cast the same actor as the Netflix show. Which, by the way, sorry, sidetrack for a second. The Netflix shows are now on Disney Plus.
Yeah, they've been on there for a while.
I just noticed it like the other day.
Okay, they've been on there for a while.
But they don't separate the seasons in like timeline order. They just have like when Daredevil season one came out, they have all three seasons of Daredevil. You can watch them all. So you have to be careful if you want to watch it in timeline order, basically. Which is basically the release order of each episode of each season. Yeah. So you watch Daredevil,
the Defenders timeline. You mean?
Is that what it is? Where's that article, Nicholas? I'm waiting for you to put that article out, please. I gave up two episodes into Iron Fist, and I kind of want to just keep going.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Nope.
I know people say don't watch it. They said season two was a little bit better.
No, it wasn't.
No.
It wasn't. No. No.
When is Bullseye in it? Is he
Daredevil?
Daredevil? Okay. Yeah, so they were talking.
Sexy. He's so hot. The guy who plays him is a psycho and he's so hot.
The guy who plays him is a psycho.
Well, no, he plays him really well as a psycho.
Oh, right, okay.
He's a psycho.
I was like, that's quite a bold thing.
And super hot. Like super.
We're going
to
go really method. We're going to get a psycho to play a psycho.
Actual psycho is.
Yeah. Psycho roles for psycho. Really psycho actor, psycho roles.
Yeah.
I'll wave that flag. Yeah, so he was, anyway, I thought about Bullseye because doesn't he like have something to do with the black daggers that crossing? You see all the tattoo and Echo of some of the henchmen have like these two crossed knives or whatever. Is that tenuous?
Probably, but they all work together. They're all Fisk people.
So. Fisk, I thought they did Fisk really well because, so we're over the fact that it's, we got Vincent D'Onofrio to play the character again because we saw that in Hawkeye. We're like, okay, fine, we're over it now. Now that we have him, and now that we know that Charlie Cox is Daredevil, he's been in other things as well. We're over that, so now we just focus on the character. And I think that the villain, the character of the villain, I think they did him really well because he's still not completely like, yeah, I get what you're doing, but he's more sympathetic.
You understand? Yeah, he's not this batshit crazy person. You understand? Mm-hmm.
You understand. There's a moment when he, like...
But he's also a piece of shit, and I hate him.
He's such a piece of shit, yeah. He's awful. He's an awful person.
Yeah.
And there's a moment when he's, like, he beats up the guy in the alley who didn't give Maya some ice cream.
Fuck him. Right? He deserves to get beaten up. What a piece
of shit. He does. But then he goes in there. So, obviously, like, here we go. We're already on Kingpin's side. Sorry, I'm shouting a little bit now.
It's fine. I'm getting it's a heated debate. Go for it.
And then he gets on the phone, and he's like, I need a new suit. Sorry, spoilers. I need a new suit. I don't want Maya to see. And I was like, oh, okay. That's, like, a really sort of... You can tell that he does care for this child in a way. So it gave him a bit more depth, a bit more sort of sympathy. Even though he is the villain, he's a beggar. He gets what he's coming to. And then it made the villain... I think he could be like another villain where he just sort of reoccurs.
Yeah.
Instead of the curse of having a one-shot villain that is really ineffective.
He's also...
He's going to come back.
Because he's a street-level human, totally human. He's a catalyst. Wipe out half of reality. Just a piece of shit. Part of this society that
you have to deal with him, not
always be assholes like that.
Yeah. And he's and they defeat him in a really clever way as well. I'm really surprised. I'm really pleased that they didn't go for some CGI beatdown for the last sort of climactic scene. They just sort of beat him because, you know, she there's a bit of like action when they beat up the henchmen, and then this she kind of just tries to heal him basically, which is I think is really touching. And he's changed as a character. They're both changed as characters. So good for character progression. Good for story. And now he's going to become a mayor, probably, of New York.
Yeah, which I think he has done, right? He's done. I'm sure he's done it in the comics.
Probably. But my only nitpick about the show that I can think of is I was a bit confused on the character's motivation in the beginning. I was like, "Why is she here? What is she doing?" I didn't follow along with.
It was kind of the point of, what's the point of this show? Like, why do we care about this storyline? Why do we care about this character? Because.
Yeah.
You know, she was in Hawkeye, but there was so much going on in Hawkeye, and we went there for Echo. No offense, Maya. We were there for Yelena. And Yelena,
and
Kate,
and Keith Bishop,
the dog,
Vincent then D'Onofrio, maybe Clint.
And then someone might be interested in Clint. But, you know, so she was in it, and you're like, oh, we get it. It didn't have that kind of...
Right. Nobody
know her.
Here
her. We go. Oh, I get it. I'm on her side. It was a little bit fuzzy, but
I mean, they tied her in because of Clint Barton's hearing loss, and I thought that was again, it was diversity inclusion is like let's put some hard of hearing people so we have sign language, which is great. I mean, one of my best friends from America is an interpreter. He's like so happy that this happened, and that was the tie-in, but. Other than that, we didn't really expect Echo, a character, to be in a story about Hawkeye and Kate Bishop. You know?
Kate the Bishop.
So, yeah, other than that, like, everyone who's listening who hasn't seen it already should go see it. I mean, go watch it. Go to your TV show.
Bingeable. And the fact that they did a bingeable as well, Netflix style. They released all 5 episodes in one hit, so you don't have to wait. Kind of fits in with if that's what they're going to do with this kind of like spotlight.
Yeah, vibes. Yeah, good.
I really like it.
Question.
It gives me hope.
Why, I think I read somewhere that it got like the lowest rating or the lowest viewership of all Marvel
titles. Probably because no one cares. Or,
which
like,
was it?
You know, it also came out post-Marvel's Christmas time. It was just...
January, I suppose.
It's just such a time slot for it.
It's a shame. We here at Incomplete Geeks give it 2 thumbs up. Go watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we watched other things so that we could talk about them for the podcast. And I watched this so that I could talk about it on the podcast. And unlike the other things, I don't regret it. It was not a waste of time.
The other things that I force you to watch so that we can talk about the podcast.
Society forced me to watch. But this felt like a good use of time. And I enjoyed the stories. It's just nice to have stories told by different types of people, rather than the same things. And I think
I think that is the strength of
and having that little bubble of freedoms, like just tell the story. Just I think that's a really positive thing, rather than being like, right, well, our lead character for the next 10 movie franchises has to be this person, and that, you know. So like,
it was
just
a gamble.
Tell the story.
I mean, it was a gamble, and they sort of it didn't come through. So, Kevin, if you're listening. Keep doing this.
The
Marvel Spotlight, yeah.
Just let people have these stories and watch these stories, but without kind of like... It's not forced. It's not performative. It's like...
Without responsibility necessarily to the greater...
Which isn't
unless
same,
it does, then it's like, you know...
In the same way that the What If story, like that is a... It's just done as like, well, this is a fun story. Let's do this interesting. And... The character just organically, people love it because it worked really well. And if they hadn't
Captain
tried
Carter.
It, huh?
Captain Carter, you mean?
Fucking Carter. No.
Gahori.
And if he hadn't done that, or if they said, right, we're going for the next phase, we have to have a Native American character, you know, they would have prescribed it too much, or they would have, you know, that's how I feel about. Falcon, Sam Wilson, I feel like a lot of it, you know, they were trying to make choices. It's like, right, they need a person of color to be the lead and that sort of stuff. And it feels like, love this character. And it was like, we don't really.
Well, Sam Wilson
Whereas
was
it
also...
did work with Black Panther. Whereas like, here's this character, like, because that's a fucking cool story. It's a fucking cool back, you know, whatever. Anyway, sorry, I'm a white guy talking about race. Shut up, Nick. Let's move on.
What's the term in Echo? Is it Nahori? Nahori? Like, these white people. The little the biscuits guy says it a couple times, like, oh, these Nohoros. Oh, I should have written it down. I forgot already. I'll figure it out.
We would have pronounced it wrong either way. So, you know what? Own it. It's, own your wife.
It's my new Gringos, basically.
Yeah, exactly. We suck.
Yeah, so good on that.
But anyway, it came out at a time when projects were just universally bombing because they were making content, the same as the Marvels and everything, for audiences that don't consume that way anymore. People don't go to the cinema the way they used to. They don't watch TV the way they used to. And it's like, you have to kind of adjust, which I hope this is.
To get people to go to the cinema, you have to have a big event like Endgame.
Or make something, I don't know, or try, I don't know. One thing that didn't adapt.
Or double event.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, or...
Like Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Rather than just making a sequel to a film that did well a few years ago, and they thought, let's make another one.
I feel like you're talking about Aquaman 2, Legend of the Lost Kingdom or something.
Yeah.
I saw that.
When did that come out? Did that come out before Christmas?
I think it was no reviews, not much promotion. I think it was like just before Christmas it came out.
We were walking somewhere and I saw a poster for it. We were walking in Leicester Square, wherever the hell we've been, and it was the poster up. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why is this out?
Is it out? And then it turns out that, let's just say that I'm glad I didn't pay for the ticket, but we had like free tickets and there was nothing else I was on. It was either that or like Wonka. And I was like, I don't really care. But Tom was like, I just like, I say that I love it. The action was great. We watched this film in the cinema and he came out and he was like, that was not a good film.
I can't even know.
The man who loves everything that he sees is just like, that was really...
I can't even give it that.
Awkward. Did you see it?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. So feel free
to spoil it.
I'm definitely going to spoil this. It was such a mess. It was so all over the place. There are moments where these characters will start... Like, there's a lot of tone shifts and things just... Oh, the one thing that Tom said, he's like, I feel like there was... a lot of cuts, like things that were missing, like story-wise and like tone-wise. There's all these shifts that happen and you don't know how we got from A to B. There's a moment where Aquaman has to sort of go break out his brother, I forget his name, Patrick Wilson.
That's his brother?
Orm.
I thought that was his dad.
You thought it was his dad? No, his dad is Javier Bardem. Wait, no, that's a little mermaid.
His dad was the Hawaiian guy.
I think he's Maori. The Tamari Morrison.
Sorry, that's my fault. I should have remembered that from the New Zealand classic actor, yeah. That was Aquaman.
And his mom was Nicole Kidman. Who I'll just say appears in like sort of, you know, there's like a sort of, in the last 5 years, I got married. I had a baby. And then like you see like photos of her, Nicole Kidman, as like she's like back in the life kind of thing, and then she's like never spoken of, never. Then she kind of disappears, and then there's like a sort of an attack on Atlantis, and then she's suddenly there like riding an orca and sort of doing high kicks in the sea, like we must protect it, talking to Amber Heard, we must protect the city, and she's doing some CGI hi-ya, and I was like, what the fuck? Where did she come from? Was she there? I didn't realize. But yeah, it's just there's stuff like that. They just kind of come out of nowhere. There's a point. Okay, so he breaks out Orm, which is like in the desert, like underground in the desert. They've got a really nice octopus, which I think is the best part of the movie. They had an octopus. I forget what the name is, but it just sort of is a CGI octopus that just sort of is like the tech expert. He goes in. He got a good like. They break into this underground prison, and the octopus sort of goes into this like a vent because he can fit and goes like does things, opens things, and Aquaman's like, oh, thanks for coming in, you know, da-da. It's just like, it's fantastic, and they treat the octopus like he's some weird ass like sidekick, like, ooh, you got that octopus, a cephalopod, ooh, how do you do this, duh. Anyway, it's bizarre.
Great.
I love
so
octopus.
Far yeah,
I know. So they break out Patrick Wilson, who's been, because he's been apparently, because he's been under the desert for like the last 5 years, he's super like gaunt and really thick. He has this big ass beard, which is so obviously like glued to his face.
Just stuck to his face.
And this long hair, really horrible makeup. And like, they managed to get him out of this prison. And as soon as he touches the ocean, gets to the sea, he like sort of bursts out. He's like got all those muscles back and whatever. And he's like, and then he helps Aquaman sort of punch the rest of the prison guards. The very next scene, like no transition. He's suddenly they're like in a boat, in a underwater boat together, and he's like clean shaven, hair's back to normal. And it's like, what happened? Like, they're talking about where they have to go next. Oh, we have to go find so-and-so, whatever the MacGuffin is. We got to do this. And like, there's a battle coming, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, he's just suddenly there. I know you're yawning.
Oh, because sorry. It's no, I'm listening. Yes.
Is this how I tell stories? That you just,
so they've got to get something. Is that the premise of the film?
The premise of the film is you've got Black Manta.
He's called Black Manta, but I'm wondering if they changed that because it sounds racist.
Maybe. I should probably check it up before I say that. But I think is it the same? It's the actor's called Yahya Abdul-Mateen, and I think it's the same guy who does Morpheus in the recent Matrix one.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Black Manta in the films Aquaman and The Lost Kingdom, and also, Morpheus in the Matrix Resurrections. Cool. Same guy. So he's the best. He's the best character because you like understand why. He's basically still upset about Aquaman killing his dad. And he finds this like
old trident. So he's the next Black Manta.
Sure. but he's in Antarctica searching for this ancient trident that was like basically dark magic and old kingdom, whatever. And he gets extra powers for it, and he gets super strong, and he's after this fuel, this like ore that he's burning to fuel this power, and also the fuel is making climate change across the globe.
Oh no.
Awful. Yeah, I know. We don't know what's happening. There's storms everywhere. Anyway, what am I talking about? So there's like a lot of tonal shifts. So in the beginning, you have Aquaman sort of saying really serious, like, oh, we must protect the baby and we do this and climate change. As soon as he breaks out Orm, he's like back to his wisecracking self. And he's like making jokes and doing silly things. I'm like, where did this happen? Like, why do we suddenly have to sort of laugh at you again? And then, like, Black Manta kidnaps the baby because what they're after is just Aquaman's blood to break the curse of the old kingdom, whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's a big sort of fight. Oh, Jimmy Woo's in it as well. The guy who plays Jimmy Woo. Well,
I was like, but not actually Jimmy Woo.
Jimmy Woo. That's the character. Randall Park, who plays Jimmy Woo, is in this as some sort of, like, scientist working for Black Manta who kind of defects to Aquaman's side.
And even he couldn't save this.
No, but he like he does heroic protect the baby. No, he's great though. He's fine.
He's great.
You know what? I forget even how they sort of do it, how they beat him in the end. But it was just so forget. They go back to underwater Antarctica, and then it ends.
Okay.
So at the very end, I need to mention this last bit, which really annoyed me. He basically has been trying to convince the council of underwater kings and queens, whatever.
Yes,
no, we have to make our presence known to the to the overworld, the land dwellers, because that's how we need to progress as a people, whatever. And they're like, no. And finally, because he wins, he's like, I'm going to do it. So he goes to the surface. Hey, let's work together to put an end to this climate change. Here's what happened. We fixed it, but we're going to work together. So he's got this like press conference and like in like New York Harbor or something like that. He's got the water behind him, and he's sort of like, and I'm here as an ambassador of Atlantis, and we're going to bring about a new stage of, you know, cooperation, whatever. And the camera zooms in him, and he's like, and I am Aquaman! Like, laughs a bit. And just sort of, like, throws the mic down and walks off camera. And I'm like, that was the weirdest fucking thing, because he's kind of trying, is he trying to do I am Iron Man? But the way he does it is like, whatever Jason Momoa was given for his direction, he sort of makes it really awkward and sort of laughy, goofy, and sort of walks off. It's just so awkward. And then it just made me think about how this is the final film of this universe.
That's the note that DCEU that's the end note. Went out on.
Okay, and I'm Aquaman. I'm the king of Atlantis. And then just walks off. I was like, what kind of tripe is this?
That's all, and that's folks. How it ends. Oh my god!
And Patrick Wilson eats a cockroach, a CGI cockroach, and it's meant to be like a like a fun bit that they call back to in the post credit scene. But I was just like, this is, first of all, it's not a real cockroach, and also this isn't funny. Yeah, misbeats. I don't know what they were doing. I've just saved you from having to ever watch it. So it's not going to win any awards. Poor Patrick Wilson. I like him as an actor.
He's hot.
And he's hot, yeah.
I love Momoa. He's hot too. He'll be back as Lobo, so it's fine. I think he'll be good.
What's Lobo?
I think he's supposed to... He is Lobo. I don't know why they made him Aquaman. He's just Lobo. So he's going to...
What is it? What is this?
It's a Superman character. He's like a bounty hunting alien villain kind of thing who's...
Cool.
He like rides around on a space motorbike. He's got long hair and like gruff voice and talks. And like... and that kind of shit. So he's like a bad guy.
Is he a villain?
He's a bad guy because he's like usually got the bounties on Superman or something like that. But he's not like... Like, he's not going to kill you for the sake of it. He's like, I don't care. Okay, I'm going to go.
Oh, okay.
And he's got this very... It's pure Momoa.
Yeah.
And he looks like Momoa just with, like, black and white face paint on. So...
Oh, cool.
Hopefully that's what he'll come back as, because more Momoa, please.
He's going to pull a Chris Evans. He's going to give it a few years of separation. Yeah. And then new universe. He'll come back as another character.
Michael B. Jordan.
That works.
Yeah, no. Go from...
Yes. That was even less time, wasn't it?
Both human torches go over to a revamp of the franchise.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, if he comes back as Lobo, that'd be great. I think that'll be... He's perfect for that.
I mean, Nicole Kidman was weird.
Ugh, she's always weird. She's such a waste of every project's budget. They keep putting her in stuff and she's fucking awful.
I mean, she was like...
a fortune. God.
I think her presence in the first Aquaman film was great. She was basically just the voice of the thingy, and she appears at the end. Like, she's the reward you get at the end. But to have her as in this film as like as one of the main actors, and she doesn't do anything.
I didn't like it.
Really?
Yeah. Like, when they made her do the fight scene in the first one, I'm like, this is awkward and uncomfortable.
I forgot that part.
This is not your natural environment. This is not your arena, Nicole. This is awful.
Amber Heard was fine. Like, there was nothing weird about what she did.
No.
She basically is like, she uses her powers.
Yeah.
I get that they don't want to put her in the film too much because of that weird legal shit that she was going through, but also. It's fine. Like, she gets injured, so she spends most of the film in the hospital bed, which comes back at the end to save the day, and it's all fine.
Do you feel like that was added afterwards? Like, it was like,
what, the hospital bit?
Like, oh, she's injured. And then cut. Oh,
looks like it's just me and my brother Orm to go. We have to do this now.
Maybe.
Who else is in it that's notable? I don't remember.
I don't know. Couldn't tell.
So, what's on deck? What's coming forward that we can look forward to?
I don't fucking know.
Like, anything.
We did a whole episode on this. We did a whole. The last one was the whole.
Oh, I know we did. Yeah, but you talked. You didn't even know when stuff was coming out.
I don't know anything anymore. I've kind of lost track. Like, the only film this year is Deadpool, right?
That's the only MCU film, and there's no James Gunn's DC.
No, he's starting with Superman, so he's only writing that. It's gonna take that's next year.
Oh, jeez, it's gonna be ages.
The only thing I'm looking forward to, like, that I know off the top of my head is Agatha. I just want that.
Oh, yeah.
Be good.
That's end of this year, though, isn't it?
Oh, God.
Looks like we're going to have to find proper content for this podcast.
Fuck. We're going to have to make effort. We're going to have to.
That's fine.
It's fine.
As soon as I finish a lot of TV shows that I want to get through, it'll be good. Any other non, like, comic book kind of TV shows that are interesting?
No, we have a date. It's summer for House of the Dragon, so that'll be fun.
Oh, right, yeah.
Psyched for that.
Summer, oh gosh.
I know, but it does need to be in summertime. That's fine.
It's fine if they do it in the summertime, but they gotta stop doing those really dark scenes, because if it's summertime...
He's gone now, hasn't he? Miguel, or whatever.
Who is it?
He's finally gone. He left after last season.
What was he before? Was he showrunner or a director or what?
A director, but he did... Game of Thrones as well, didn't he?
Right.
And House of the Dragon.
And we've still got George R.R. Martin as a showrunner as well.
Yeah.
Good. He'll make sure that show's good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that one as well. So yeah, if you, dear listener, want to hear of anything else that is coming out that we should talk about, write in. We'll accept some suggestions. If you have any things that we missed, let us know. If you have any complaints, send
X-Men
them my
animated
way.
Series. That's coming out.
Yes! X-Men Animated Series.
X-Men 97.
Wait, speaking of, before I get to our little outro thing, we're going to watch Dark Phoenix. I'm literally rewatching X-Men 97, no, X-Men 90s cartoon.
Yes.
And I'm up to the point of where the next episode for me is Dark Phoenix.
Yes.
Or the Phoenix Saga. Which, and you told me not to watch it.
Don't watch it yet, because I want to talk about it. I want to talk about, and as someone who's never read the comics... I want to kind of take you through that. So hopefully that's on one of our next projects. So give me time. I need to make sure I like research and do it properly.
Yes.
But we're going to go forward through first the Phoenix Saga and then the Dark Phoenix Saga.
But I'm okay to just skip those episodes. I can continue watching afterwards. Cartoon,
you're fine. They don't they don't connect outside of that in almost any way. So you're fine.
Okay, cool. So other than that, dear listener, if you have any suggestions, comments, write in, let us know. IncompleteGeeksPodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to reach out on TikTok or Instagram, our handles there are @IncompleteGeeks. Give us a like, follow if you don't follow already. Share it with your friends. Every little bit helps.
Yeah.
That's it.
Message us. We're forgetting anything else. Chat to us. Tell us geeky things and what you want to talk about. And let's do some live things. Like
Live things, yeah. Suggestions for like episodes content and also what other things we can do. Like we're talking about doing a Twitch, whatever.
Or, you know,
we do a lot of things.
Just call us idiots if we got something wrong. Like people love to tell us when we get stuff wrong. And that's absolutely
fine. We know you want to.
Do it now. You know what? I'm sure we got a load wrong in this episode. Like, I'm really sorry. But you know what? We're not complete geeks.
But we are working on it.
Thanks for listening.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
It was under an hour, that's good.